Today on Focal Point from Pastor Mike Fabares.
Every unjust thing that we suffer, every problem that you see in politics, every time you look at someone and you say, I can't believe you're doing it. I can't believe I have to submit to that. I can't believe I have to pay for that. I don't believe I got that ticket. Whatever it is that you have to do that seems so unreasonable. The Bible says every one of those authorities demands things not only from you as a Christian, but non-Christians, they'll be judged. Right now, though, we endure this with all respect.
When we commit our lives to Christ, we're no longer of this world. But that doesn't mean all other authorities go away. As much as we may wish for the opposite, Romans 13 reminds us we're subject to the governing authorities, because there is no authority except from God. Welcome to Focal Point. I'm your host, Dave Drewy. And today, Pastor Mike Fabares continues his series called King Jesus, teaching from the parable of the tenants found in Luke 20, verses 19 through 26.
If you wanted to look at Jesus living under authority, it's not much different than your life. You have multiple layers of authority. Jesus had multiple layers of authority. And in essence, the whole point of this parable is he's saying, in a way that they didn't think he would say it, pay the tax. You have authority. That authority needs to be recognized. And that's a hard thing for us to do. But let's just start before we even think about the specifics in regard to your authority. Let's just think about the fact you're going to live that way between now and heaven. Even though you have said, I'm stepping out to be now no longer governed by myself or this world. I'm stepping out from the world. I'm submitting myself to the lordship of Christ. That does not mean that all these other authorities go away. Just like for Christ, the authority himself is under authority. Therefore, let's just get used to, number one, get used to overlapping authorities. If you're taking notes, that's number one. Get used to overlapping authorities. You've got authorities over authorities over authorities, even in human life, but above that all, you've got God. So you understand, if you are a Christian, that just because you became a Christian 2 years ago, 15 years ago, 25 years ago, you still have a boss. You still have managers, you still have stockholders, you still have policemen, you still have judges, you still have lawyers, you still have assemblymen and senators and congressmen and presidents. We have these authorities that are our authorities. This is hard for us to process. I understand that. Romans 13 reminds us. You can study it on your own. Romans 13, 1, be subject to those governing authorities. I try not to use Greek words unless they're helpful, and here's a helpful one. Governing authorities, that's great. What's the verb? Here's the command. Be subject to. Subject to. In Greek, the original language of the New Testament, hupotasso, a compound word. Hupo means under. Tasso means to line yourself up underneath. There's a lot of lines that I might see as I go through this place or that place or next to the theater. I don't get in those lines. I'm not interested in getting in those lines. Well, here's a line under the authority of a person, and tasso means to line up or arrange yourself. Hupotasso. Line yourself up underneath that authority. Even as I kind of did the gesture early on about you lining yourself up under Christ, I naturally do the gesture of what this word means. I'm lining myself up underneath the authority of Christ. Here's the command. Oh, and line yourself also up under the authority of every human governing institution. For no authority is there except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God, whether it's in government or family or whatever it might be in your workplace. Therefore, if you're going to resist the authority that God has appointed, you're resisting God and you're going to incur some judgment. Now, here's their marching orders. They're supposed to be a terror, not for good conduct, but for bad conduct. That's what they're there for. That's their marching orders for which they will be held accountable. He's supposed to be a servant from God with a sword that is supposed to be used to be a servant of God and bringing God's vengeance on those who do wrong. The whole point and upshot of this gets down to where we are always most concerned, our money. Verse 6, because of this, you also pay taxes. But the authorities are supposed to be here from God. They're ministers of God, attending to this very thing, trying to do these things that God has called them to do as poorly or wrongly, or in Pilate's case, as antithetically as they may do them sometimes. Therefore, pay taxes to whom taxes are owed. They give you a tax bill, pay it. Revenue to whom revenue is owed. Maybe it's the governor, maybe it's the Herods, maybe it's the palaces they're building, maybe it's some kind of taxation or excise tax you have to pay. Pay it. And not only that, respect to whom respect is owed. I don't think they deserve it. Honor to whom honor is owed. I don't think they deserve it. I don't think they deserve my tax money. You understand, when we get down to the issue on this passage that's right here, our money, you do understand that when you start looking at the things that the lobbyists get those legislators to put in those budget deals so that they can have this nonsense funded, you and I start to think, I don't want to give you any of my money. But that sword verse reminds us that they've been given in civilized society by God, whether you like the way they spend your money, like I'm sure the Jews didn't like the way the Romans spent their money, or not, they got the sword. Because if I said to you, how much tax do you want to spend? All that stuff in the news, forget it, don't even worry about it. How much tax do you want to spend? It'll be like the offering. We'll just pass a bag, put in whatever you want for your taxes this year. How much are you going to put in? I don't pay for anything. What happens? April 16th, what happens? Well, probably nothing, April 16th. April 17th, nothing. How about by September? Maybe I'll get a call. How about by next year? How about the year after that? Well, I know this. In a couple of years, I'm certainly going to be labeled a tax evader. And then I'm probably going to have some liens put against my property. I may try to get some money out of the ATM, and all of a sudden my accounts are going to be seized because they're going to seize my assets. And then they might even send me a lot of letters that seem really official, and I don't want to bother with those. So it's like the Kohl's thing. I just throw it in the trash. Don't tell my wife I threw the Kohl's thing in the trash. But let's just say I do that. Then what happens? Eventually I get a knock on my door and they're there with the badges and I say, I don't want to pay it. I shut the door. I guess their foot's going to go in the door probably. I say, get off my porch, man. Get off my property. Well, at that point, it may be their property at this point. They've seized my property. And let's say they want to arrest me. I'll resist. Well, they're going to wrestle me. Well, I wrestled in high school. I might get out of that. No, they'll bring three guys, really big. Maybe they'll bring tasers. Well, I'll try to run. Well, go ahead and run. Everyone there is there to make sure you don't run. Well, I am going to run. Well, they've got guns. Well, I'm going to take one of their guns and point it at them. Well, great, then you'll be dead. Okay, so if we all say, I don't like taxes, I'm not going to pay them, where does this go? I know that was many links in the chain. You will end up dead. That's the point. And what's going on in Romans 13? That's the point. They don't bear the sword for nothing. Now, they don't do their job the way we'd want them to do it. But if I don't do it, they have teeth. It's not just bark, it's bite. They are able to enforce their authority and make my life miserable. Go to your work and tell your boss you don't want to do what he says. Now, in our day, you may get away with that for a couple months, but you will be fired. Eventually, you'll be fired. And what's the point? The point is that God says all of those authorities need to be seen, much like Jesus saw the authority of Pilate. You only have authority over me because God has given you that authority. But invert that statement. Because God has given you that authority, you are an authority over me. Therefore, I need to recognize all these layers of authority are providentially from God. He's put you in places, beginning with your parents, where they were your authority. And according to our passage, to get back to it, he says, you see the coin? What does it have? It's got Tiberius Caesar. Pay it. Number two on your outline. To get all the way down to our pocketbook, we need to realize this. We need to, number two, honor all of our earthly authorities. Honor all of your earthly authorities. And honor is a big word because I can't narrow it down just paying your taxes or doing what they say. It's all the things that go with that, including the respect in verse number 7 of Romans 13 that says you need to give the honor, the revenue, the taxes, and the respect. Honor your earthly authorities. Well, that is the upshot of what Jesus said. But you know how hard that was for these people to do? They worked hard for that money, and now they were giving it away. One of the reasons this was so hard for them is not because it's like our money. If I said, pull out your dollar bill, you go, oh, there he is, founder of our country, George Washington, right there, man. Get the five out. Ah, Honest Abe, that's our man. I mean, that's one thing. That's not how they were dealing with the money of the first century. In the first century, they had Caesar Tiberius. These were chief priests who, number one, many of them didn't even see that there was any way to justify putting an image of a person on a coin because they saw that as a violation of Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments. You weren't supposed to make graven images. They saw that as a graven image. They didn't want to do that. Worse than that, he said, inscription. Whose inscription is that? Now, the inscription, if you look really close, or if you have the digital version, you might maybe able to get in there and see it. These are Latin letters and Latin words, and unfortunately, the way they used to abbreviate in the ancient world, because they only had so much coin to work with, is to abbreviate in weird places. So it would be hard for you to figure it out based on what's there. But you can see, like, T-I-C-A-E-S-A-R. You go, well, tie is... Here, let me just give you the abbreviation, or let me give you the words of the abbreviation. Ti is Tiberius Caesar. Divi, okay, that's from Divinitas. Does that sound familiar? God, right? Augusti, dative form, Augusti. Filius, just an F there on the coin. Augustus. So in essence, you've got Tiberius Caesar. We know that. Caesar is the title. Tiberius is his name. Then you've got the word divine August's son. Divine August's son. Now, what is that? Augustus was dead. Augustus had been deified as a god. They worshipped him in the emperor worship of Rome. They worshipped him as a god. And then it says, the last word, Augustus. Who is Augustus? So, let me smooth it out. Tiberius, Caesar, the August, which means respected, the August son, the respected son of the divine Augustus. Whoa. So what you've got on this coin is, here you have the son of God, the son of God, yes, the son of the god Augustus, who himself is August, and they even said in history they wanted to make Tiberius a deified god before he died. He resisted it. He's an interesting character, but he didn't want to be, and yet even here on the coin that they minted for his money, he's already kind of god in training. And I put the back side just so you know what's on the back. Look on the back. What do you got there? You got a woman in a dress on a throne, on a chair. This is Livia, is her name. Livia is Tiberius's mother. So this is one of the wives of Caesar Augustus. She's carrying in one hand an olive branch, and in the other she's got a stick, which is her scepter as she sits in this throne. And then here's the words on there. If you just read the Latin letters, it would be Pontiff Maxim, which is Pontifex. It's an abbreviation for Pontifex Maximus. Pontifex Maximus. Those words, Maximus, you might know, the great. And what is pontifex? It's the priest, the great priest or the high priest. And it's a woman, so the high priestess. So Livia is on the back. Her name's not there, but this is the mother of Tiberius, and she is the high priest. They called her the Pax, P-A-X in Latin, the goddess. Now just think about this. Matter of fact, the other gospel writers say that Jesus said, bring me a denarius. They had to go find one because the high priests weren't going to say, oh, I got one. They didn't even like carrying these things. And in one side, you had an image, which most people stumbled over already there. And then he's the son of God, God in training. And on the other side is his goddess mother, and she's the high priest. The high priests don't like this coin. And that's why this diffused the situation. You got enough people, as you thought about the inscription and the image, to say, yeah, the filthy money of our corrupted government. There was an immediate detachment from it, this sense of, ugh, yep, I see whose image is on it. I don't like him. I see what it says about him, what heresy, what rank blasphemy. He's getting them to think about it. You pull out your money, it's Abe Lincoln, Benjamin Franklin. It'd be like you pulling your money out and on it having like ISIS warriors. Right, Osama bin Laden's on your $5 bill. Saddam Hussein is on the $100 bill. You'd be like, yep. He'd be like, pull your money out, take a look at it. Yeah, here is your money. Look at it. Part of this fallen, messed up, filthy world that you guys are a part of. Oh, the world's calling and wants some of its money back? Fine. This was a statement of detachment. This was a statement to get you to say, honor them, but you know who they are. This is the whole point of trying to unburden our hearts this morning. When it comes to the leadership and the leaders of the world, this is the balance. Here's the struggle to get you to see that all the materialism of your corporate job, all the foolishness of the political world that we live in, all the nonsense of where your tax money goes, there's a sense in which you detach your heart from that and say, yeah, that's the world we live in. And because I became a Christian, I didn't become detached from all these things. I still live under the authority of these things. And you know what? They want a few more hours in this company? Fine. They want a few more dollars for their weird metropolitan art display of a crucifix of Christ inverted in urine? Whatever. Whatever? Yeah, this was so appalling to the Jews. And he said, look at it. They want more of that? Render to Caesar what's Caesar's. Give him what they want. I want you to realize, here's what the Bible says. Matter of fact, I'd like you to turn there. In 1 Peter chapter 2, Let me just inject this thought. Can you recognize that our world is messed up? Can you realize that the corporate world, the political world, the things that go on here really are messed up? People living for themselves, the idolatry of it all, that you still can submit to these leaders and to this system in many ways in your own life as you go about your work and your labor every day. You can do it with a good attitude. Not because your heart is in it, but because your heart is somewhere else. Take a look at this text with me. Start in verse number 13. Here's our hupotasso word again. Be subject, hupo, under, tasso, align yourself. For the Lord's sake, let's make that clear, to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme. Now, when Jesus carried around that coin, or when he called for that coin, it had Caesar Tiberius on it. He died many years later, a couple decades later, when Peter is writing the emperor on the throne now, and he was minting his own coins. You can look at some of the numismatic catalogs, and there's great resources out there about the coins they minted in the Roman government. You've got Nero now printing his own coins. Nero is now the leader, the governor, the supreme leader of the Roman Empire. Or to the governors, you had the tetrarchs, and you had, you know, guys like Pilate. The governors, as sent by him to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good, although they do it really poorly sometimes. But hupotasso yourself under them. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, what's the good in this passage? That I subject myself to them. They say, pay taxes, I pay taxes. They want revenue, I give revenue. They want honor, I give them honor. This is the will of God, so that by doing good, you would put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. What's the ignorance of foolish people? Luke 23, verse 1, they thought Jesus was mounting an insurrection to dethrone Caesar. They said of the early church, I know all you guys want. You won't give a pinch of that incense and say, Caesar is Lord. Ah, see there, you're insurrectionists. You want to foment some kind of rebellion. The leader should be scared of you. Look at your growing numbers, thousands of you. I know what you're going to do. Much like the Egyptians thought about the growing numbers of Hebrews, you just want to overthrow us. We don't want to overthrow your government. We're not interested in your government. The kingdom of God, whole different thing. We're not here to foment some kind of rebellion. Well, you're going to silence them if you just hupotasso yourself. You would align yourself under the leadership and do what they say. Now, live as people who are free. You're not their subjects. You're not their slaves. They don't own you. You are God's people. But you don't use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. What's the evil in this passage? Being rebellious against the authorities. You're living as servants of God. You're looking through the authorities of this earth, through your boss, through the assemblymen, through the congressmen, through the senators, through the president. You're looking to God. You're servants of God. Honor everyone. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Honor the emperor. Hard enough in our day in Orange County to say, honor Donald Trump. Hard for me to say that when you're thinking about him paying off porn stars to shut up about his escapades. And I'm not here to bash him. I'm just saying that's the reality we're dealing with. And here is a passage saying, honor the leaders. Honor. Align yourself under them. And I could go back. I mean, I could go back to Barack Obama. I get up here on a Sunday morning and say, honor Barack Obama as the supreme leader, at least in our Democratic Republic here. Or I could go back, George Bush, honor him. Bill Clinton, honor him. Or think if Hillary Clinton, honor Clinton. I mean, you're thinking all kinds of crazy things. Wow, I can't honor. I mean, you think about Monica Lewinsky, you think about going back to Iran-Contra, you think of all these things that, it's hard for me to honor. I can't imagine the stuff that these people do. I can't imagine giving them my honor and respect. They were being asked to honor Nero. Look this one up on Wikipedia, Sporus. Sporus was one of the two men that Nero married. He was a young boy he used to have sex with. Talk about NAMBLA member, right? Nero was having sex with a young boy. He castrated Sporus so that he would maintain his boyish looks so he could have him as a sex toy in the palace. He married two men along with the wives. He killed people in his family. And Reverend Peter stands up on a Sunday service, if you will, and says, honor Nero. What are you talking about? I'm saying this, align yourself under the providential leaders of your life. And when you're stuck with those leaders, you're stuck with those leaders, honor them and do it even with a good attitude. Next verse, let's get down to where you live, where you work. And don't think of American slavery when you read verses like this. The Greco-Roman world was filled with slaves. You could be a lawyer, a professor, all kinds of people being purchased, if you will, to do the work in society. This is really, it's a decent equivalent, though I know there were abuses even in the Greco-Roman world of us thinking about the people that have us in contract to do work for them. Servants, be subject to your masters. Here it is, with all respect. Now look at the next phrase and highlight it. Only though to the respectable. Highlight that part. Is that what it says? No, you're not looking at the passage apparently. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. This is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, you endure sorrows while suffering unjustly. That's a good thing. What credit is there, by the way, if you're thinking about suffering, and you're suffering because you've sinned, you were beaten for it, well, then you endure that. Well, what good is that? But if you do good and suffer for it, and you endure that suffering, that's a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called. No way. I'm called to that? Here is the idea. You and I are called as long as we step out, align ourselves under the authority of Christ, and we realize this, I still got all this stuff. I got bad parents, I got a bad job, I got bad leaders, I got lawsuits here, I got laws here that are stupid, I got taxes that are exorbitant, I got all these things I don't like. Submit yourself, all respect, live under that authority, and do that. Here in this passage it says, because that's what Christ did, as he stood even before Pontius Pilate. Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. And yet there he stood before Pontius Pilate. When he was reviled, he didn't revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten. He continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. And that seeped through the cracks when he said, yeah, you have authority, but you only have authority over me because it was given to you from God. Every unjust thing that we suffer, every problem that you see in politics, every time you look at someone and you say, I can't believe you're doing it. I can't believe I have to submit to that. I can't believe I have to pay for that. I don't believe I got that ticket. Whatever it is that you have to do that seems so unreasonable. The Bible says every one of those authorities demands things not only from you as a Christian, but non-Christians, they'll be judged. Right now, though, we endure this not just with biting the bullet, I'm going to do this with a bad attitude, but it started in verse 18 in this context, with all respect.
Living as God's expatriates means following the example of Christ, submitting with respect to those God has placed in authority over us here on earth. And like Christ, we need to trust in the one who judges justly. That's our subject today on Focal Point with pastor, author, and teacher Mike Fabares. Now, we know that today's message may have struck a chord for some, but here at Focal Point, we're committed to teaching what the Bible says, never pulling punches or watering down the truth. Sometimes these uncomfortable verses are exactly what we need to hear in order to change our attitudes and grow in our faith as a result. If you believe in the value of straightforward Bible teaching, will you donate today so we can continue getting the message out to those who need to hear it? When you give, we'll say thanks with a copy of Pastor Mike's devotional titled, Change My Heart, O God. Mike, will you tell us about this resource?
Well, thanks, Dave. I am pretty excited about this. This little book is not like the average book we offer on our Focal Point program. Often we're trying to build your theological library or grow your knowledge of some doctrinal issue. I mean, this is purely a devotional journal that I'm providing you. This is all about you getting a thoughtful, reflective time alone with God, opening up this book, which is nicely done, by the way. It's not just a paperback. It's a different kind of a publication. I think you're going to enjoy it. It's 52 weeks, devotional readings, one a week, which I think is plenty. You need to review it every day of the week if you can, to prompt you to think about what God's word would have you resolve. And that's a big deal, to resolve something that every single week you're saying, this is what I know God's word wants me to do. It's going to help you put God's word into action.
Make sure to request your copy of the devotional journal, Change My Heart, O God, when you donate today in support of this ministry. To make a one-time donation or to join the team of monthly supporters, call 888-320-5885. Our Focal Point partners play a crucial role in helping us plan for the future, and we're so grateful. Again, our number is 888-320-5885. You can also give online at focalpointradio.org. If you'd rather mail your donation, write to Focal Point, Post Office Box 2850, Laguna Hills, California, 92654. And don't forget to request your copy of the journal when you contact us. Well, I'm your host, Dave Drewy. So glad you've joined us today, and be sure to come back tomorrow as we wrap up our message called Living as His Expatriates. Pastor Mike will conclude his study on the parable of the tenants and unpack three profound statements Jesus made. That's coming up Tuesday on Focal Point. Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.
Hi, Pastor Mike here. God's Word promises it'll never return void. So I wonder, how is God's Word moving in your heart right now? Drop us a line. Let us know. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to be praying for you here. Just go to focalpointradio.org and then be sure to join us again tomorrow right here as we continue to explore the depths of Scripture. We'll see you then.